Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
8:14 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. More rainy today than usually during summertime. Going to be that way for the next 2 days. Good thing is it's kept the temperature, all the rain, out of the 90s. And it's going to be that way today, too. Highs of only 85. For those of you that see the commercials on TV and maybe you've not followed it too closely, what happened at Camp Lejeune is a national disgrace as it relates to the way we treated veterans and their families and the people that worked on the base. And James Peltier, a partner in the Dudley DeBosia Law Firm, is here to help us understand what went on and also answer your questions if you have any at 504-260-1870. How you doing, James? Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I am okay, sir. Tell me, tell us the whole backstory, if you will, about Camp Lejeune and what happened.
Yeah, it's a sad kind of deal. I will tell you. Let me tell you what Camp Lejeune is. Camp Lejeune is a Marine military base, and it's in North Carolina. And our Marines went there and trained and worked, and not only them, but their family members lived there in the community around them and the people that served them. But from 1953 until 1987, they basically were in charge of a water treatment plant. And that water treatment plant, one, was not necessarily operated properly, plus a lot of chemicals were released into the water, a lot by the military, but also some other activities that were happening in the area. And the military was in charge of making sure that water was safe, and quite frankly, they just didn't do their job. And the people that were living there were exposed to chemicals, and a lot of chemicals. There were 70 different chemicals that when they looked at it, showed that they had between 270 and 3,400 times the amount of toxicity that should be legal in the water. Some of them, some pretty bad stuff. The big bad ones that were causing real problems were PCE, which is perchloroethanol, TCE, trichloroethanol. You might have heard of benzene, vinyl chloride, and even later some mercury was released into the water. And the problem with these things at the levels that they were is they created all kind of health issues with the people that were staying there, and lots of cancers and things like that. I have a whole list of them. You have leukemia, you have bladder cancer, breast cancer. You had a lot of infertility, kidney cancer, lung cancer. A lot of miscarriages were taking place at a rate five times the amount that's normal were taking place with the people that were having babies while they were there. Another big one is like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's disease. There's a whole list of 13 different ones that the government has recognized and said these are the things that would have been caused by the types of toxicity that was in the water. And so that's kind of the backstory as to what happened. And so anybody that lived there for continuously more than 30 days, and it doesn't necessarily have to be continuously, it can be off and on. But if you are exposed to that water for more than 30 days, the government has kind of stepped up and said you have a claim, and they've listed out the potential diseases and problems that and cancers that would have been caused by the water in itself. So it's a sad story as to what happened, but at least the government has stepped up now and said we're going to take responsibility for it.
The base was open in 1941, right, James? And I'm just wondering, who would, obviously, if you were there in 1941, chances are you're not alive, but who is eligible for compensation under this? Because I'm looking at the history of the camp here, going from 1941 all the way, I guess, to what is the base still open or did they close it?
The base is still open, and they have cleaned up any of the problems. And the people that are eligible is anybody that lived there from August 1st of 1953 through December 31st of 1987. That is when they now know that they had the toxicity levels in the water.
Give me that time the time frame again, James, if you would, please.
Sure. August 1st of 1953 to December 31st of 1987. If you were there for more than 30 days and able to show that you were, and you have the problems, the 13 listed problems, And by the way, there's going to be more than that, but there's at least 13 that are kind of at this time admitted that have are causing the problems that are out there, then you're eligible for the lawsuit. You don't have to have served. You could have served. You could be the wife. You could be the child. I recently talked to a brother of a friend of mine who was 2 years old when he was at Camp Lejeune. The guy lives in New Orleans, and he has a significant medical issue. And so it's not necessarily the people that were served. They're family members, but you also could have worked around the base and served the base as non-military and still be eligible if you were exposed to the drinking water that they were charged with making sure it was safe.
Somebody texted in, I was born on Camp Lejeune, October 19... Should have gotten the better glasses, James. 1953, I thought it said 63, was probably there for 2 or 3 months. I can't be long enough to be affected, huh? But actually it can, according to, if you gave me August 1st of 53.
Well, if he was born in June, he was there for over 30 days after 1953. He could.
No, born October, October 53.
Right. That's right. He could be eligible if he potentially has these problems, was there for more than 30 days. He also potentially, if his mom was there while she was pregnant, some things have been passed on. And look, everything is not automatically admitted. If you have some of these lists of 13 problems, it's not an automatic that you get the money that Congress has set aside. But there's a presumptive that these are the problems that were caused. We're still going to have to show medically the causation between you and the water. But unlike a lot of mass torts, in this case, the government has kind of already set the money aside. And in addition to that, is admitting that these are the problems that would be caused by the drinking water that's there. So there's still a hurdle you're going to have to overcome. We'll have to get the medical records and we'll have to show the causation link. But it's not going to be fought like it typically would. In this case, the bill itself, and I can talk a little bit about the bill.
Yeah, let's do that when we come back. Let's do that when we come back, James, because we got to take a break. And I think it is important, by the way, I'll invite the audience in, 504-260-1870. We're talking to James Peltier, a partner in the firm of Dudley & DeBosier, about this class action lawsuit as it relates to people that were affected by Camp Lejeune, if they were at Camp Lejeune and some of the pollutants that were there. And we'll talk about the standard of proof or the bar, how high it is, what the law says, et cetera, and also take your questions at 504-260-1870. A question comes in, do survivors of Camp Lejeune victims have claim? Well, we'll ask James when we come back. 821, time for traffic now on WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, call it 826 on this Wednesday morning, August 10th, we're talking to James Peltier, nice man, partner in a Dudley DeBosier law firm, about the Camp Lejeune class action lawsuit and settlement, and we're taking your questions about that. You can call if you want. Jeff from Thibodeau, hang on, we'll get to you in a second, 504-260-1870. But James, somebody texted in, father slash husband died of cancer. Do survivors of Camp Lejeune victims have claim?
The answer is absolutely. As a matter of fact, when you look at the time frame from 1953 to 1987, most of the people that were there, at least serving, will be above the age of 75 and potentially into their hundreds, if depending on the age that they were there. So what's going to happen is a large, I don't want to say a majority, but a lot of the people will already have died, and their families will be able to make claims. The suits themselves are going to have to be filed in North Carolina. You're going to file administratively first with the government, but then in North Carolina. But in your state, you'll have to look at the laws in your state as to what the succession is, to who has the right to file the case. In most cases here, it will likely be the children. I mean, it could be the spouses and it could be the children, or even potentially the grandchildren if the children are alive. But the answer is yes.
So you would have to have access to their medical records, I guess? Is that how that
you
works?
You don't have to particularly have them yourself. Mm-hmm. The law firm that you pick to represent, or if you can go get them yourself if you want to file the claim, you are going to have to get the medical records and present them. A lot of these medical records may or may not even be available dating back, but whatever it can be located, we will have to locate and present that as part of your claim.
Jeff Thibodeau, hi. Thanks for calling. You're on WWL with James Peltier of Dudley & DeBosier.
Yes, all I'm hearing about is Lejeune. What about the surrounding bases that were dependent on Lejeune, like Tiger, Camp Johnson, Marine Corps Air Station, the people that lived at Terra Terrace, Midway Park? and et cetera, are those people, even though, like the kids that we went to school on the air station or somewhere else, are we eligible for that also? Or even though, did we have the same water?
No. Well, if you had the same water, it is for Camp Lejeune in an area, very small area right outside of, I think it's about a 30-mile, 20-mile radius. But they have a map. I don't know exactly how far it extends because it's not a direct circle. But in a very small area outside of that, if you were exposed to the drinking water over that amount of time, then you would. But in general, the other camps and the other bases themselves are not eligible. The only one at the moment is Camp Lejeune. Now, I've talked to a lot of people since then that have talked about different military bases that may have similar problems. And it will not surprise me if this spurs looking into it deeper in other areas and regulation and rules and laws being passed for those areas. But for right now, this bill is for the people that were at Camp Lejeune, and Camp Lejeune mainly with a very small area right outside of Camp Lejeune.
And we keep talking about thank you, Jeff, for your call, by the way. Jeff, did you have anything else, or did that clear it up for you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that was it was support bases, so I got to assume that it was the same water then.
All right. Thank you, sir.
It's like Metairie and Kenton, you know.
I got you. I was looking at, you said Terrace, and I looked at the history of the camp, and I think that was opened up back in 1950, some out of the other. So we're talking to James Peltier, a partner with the firm of Dudley DeBossier, about, and you've seen the commercials on TV, about the settlement, or at least the case involving the Camp Lejeune and the people that have been affected by that. If you have any questions or comments, call 504-260-1870, and we'll put you on the phone with James, or you can also text that into the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and text line. I'll pass them along. Right now it's 8:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Eno's Inn. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker back with James Peltier here on WWL, a partner in the firm of Dudley DeBossier. We're talking about the settlement at Camp Lejeune, and or at least the money that's available due to the bill that was passed. James, somebody texted in, what are the most prominent illnesses caused by the negligence at Camp Lejeune?
Yeah, well, we're going to have to get the numbers on it as this comes in, but the ones that we're seeing that are most affected are things like, we're seeing a lot of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We are seeing multiple types of cancers that are out.
James? All right, well, apparently James, yeah, you're back. Whatever you're doing, don't do it again because you cut out.
Oh, I didn't know I was actually doing anything. I apologize.
That's all right.
Yeah, look, what is occurring is that the ones we're finding the most, we're finding a lot of leukemia, a lot of bladder cancer, breast cancer, kidney cancer, a whole bunch of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and Parkinson's disease are the ones I'm seeing the most. In addition to that, as I told you before, there was about five times the miscarriage rates and different problems with births at the time. And so those are a lot of the ones that we're seeing some significant problems in of the cases that we've been dealing with so far. Also, earlier you had a caller that talked about the affected area, and I did go look up the benefits coverage area. And the Tarawa Terrace area where he was talking about looks like it would fall within that the map that they put out. And there are multiple camps around it, like Camp Geiger is in it. excuse me. The Camp Lejeune Greater Sandy Run area is in it. The Stone Bay Rifle Range area would be in it. So when I look at the map, there are multiple areas right outside of Camp Lejeune that would be considered in the Camp Lejeune benefit coverage area. So when he asked, his area would be covered.
All righty, to Jack and Gentile. Hey, Jack, you're on WWL talking to Jim Peltier with Dudley DeBossier.
Mr. James, I have a question. I was stationed at Camp Lejeune from 61 to 64. I had a wife and two daughters. Would they be able to get in on that compensation quest?
Was your wife and two daughters there at the time?
Yeah, one of my daughters was born in Camp Lejeune, but they were all there with me for those 3 years.
Sure. The answer is as long as they lived in the area for more than 30 days with you at the time, and they have one of the different either illnesses or cancers that were caused by it, the answer is yes.
What about neurobehavioral illnesses?
Which ones in specific?
That's on the list, neurobehavioral. They just don't
Well, the answer is yes. There is. There's a different types of neural behaviors that will and won't fall within it. So the answer is yes for some, and not for all. We'll have to get the medical records to find out whether they qualify or not.
Uh huh. Now, can we be compensated merely for the exposure, or do you have to have an illness?
You have to have an illness. The exposure itself will not do it.
Okay. Because I've contacted a lot of these different law firms that are pitching everything on TV. This is going to be an individual lawsuit, not a class action, blah, 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 blah. And I'm confused.
Let's ask him about that. Jack, is it going to be a class action, James, or is it an individual suit? Because I heard you say earlier that you had to file suit depending on what state you're in. Maybe you can walk us through that whole process?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you a little. Well, I could go through the bill, but here's the deal.
If it's part of the bill, go ahead and do that. Include it all.
Okay. Well, here's what occurred. The first lawsuit on this was filed in 2010. It was denied, and then there was a bunch of other claims. A class action lawsuit was denied, and it was a class at that time, basically because North Carolina had a law that said even if toxicity was in the water and it caused problems, if it was more than 10 years from the time it happened, you were barred from filing a lawsuit 10 years post being exposed to whatever the chemicals in the water or the land were. And that's a North Carolina thing. So all of them were basically barred. What has happened is the government then tried to and has passed the act that they have that we're talking about here today. And they did that just recently. And originally passed the Senate, but then got to the House and was denied for a technicality. Mm. 2 weeks ago, the House reenacted it and the Senate passed it. And quite frankly, today is the day that the president's going to sign the bill. So all claims have to be filed within 2 years by law of today when the president signs the bill and actually enacts the bill in order to make it. You will have to file first. You'll have to file an administrative claim with the military. And they'll either accept it or deny it, and then you'll be able to file your lawsuit in North Carolina. Presently, each claim is an individual claim. I don't believe it's going to be classified as a class action, but it's going to be an MDL, I believe, when it gets to North Carolina, which means it's a multi-district litigation. I think a lot of people out there think the two are the same, but they're not really the same. In a multi-district litigation, the court takes it, and what will happen is it'll likely get if they get to suit and they're not settled at the administrative level, and I believe a lot of them may be settled at the administrative level, we're early on in it, but when you file the claim, I don't believe the government's going to turn down all of them or the military. I believe they will accept a good many of them and then settle those there. If they're not, you'll have to file your lawsuit in North Carolina. The judge is going to have a lot of lawsuits there, and a multi-district litigation means they'll kind of organize it in a way where we potentially are going to have a community of lawyers that'll be on the kind of the big board that'll be in charge, and they'll take depositions and everybody will be able to use them. But the judge will typically pick and choose certain cases that'll be tried. And then hopefully there'll be some type of settlement across the board, depending on the type of injuries that you have. But right now that is not set up. But the belief is it'll turn into what is an MDL, which is a multi-district litigation, which is kind of set up a little bit like people think of a class action, even though it's not officially a class action. But right now, each claim is individual and will keep being individual within the multi-district litigation.
Would it be better for people to get involved now or wait?
Yeah, the answer is you want to get yourself in line quicker. What'll happen is the sooner you get your paperwork filed, the earlier they'll be able to either accept or deny your claim, and you'll be able to put yourself into the lawsuit if they deny your claim and potentially get your settlement in quicker and faster than the people down the line. Now, there's a limited amount of budget that's been put out there by the government, and the bill itself looks like it puts about $6.7 billion out there in order to help settle these claims. Whether that will be enough or not, I don't know. There were between 750 and over a million people that were that lived there for over 30 days is the belief when they look at the numbers. And so the potential claimant numbers, depending on who you listen to, could be between anywhere between 60 and 100,000 different people will have some claims basically due to the drinking of the water. And so that right now, that the amount of money they set aside is the amount that they have for that many, maybe 60 to 100,000 people that potentially have the claims. We don't know the exact number, and all it is an estimate that the government has kind of looked at and figured out. They originally thought it would be about $6 billion in claims and put 6.7 out there. Always a chance that there's more. The government could go back and put more money in, but right now that's not anticipated.
Somebody texted in about attorney representation. Just from what you described in the last couple of minutes, I can't imagine beginning to navigate that if you're not an attorney. Do you need an attorney if you want to do this?
Well, people have filed claims, military claims, for years without attorneys. Uh-huh. If you do it, potentially you could go and file your own claim militarily. Filing the lawsuit itself in North Carolina, I would find, would be very difficult, and even filing the claim is difficult for the average person. You're going to have to get your medical records. A lot of forms need to be filled out. But I know people who have filled out those forms on their own to make prior military claims, not this claim, mm-hmm. but prior claims. I know people who have done it on their own and be either accepted or denied. So it's possible. Most people I've talked to that have looked at it and attempted it said, James, I can't do this. Please come in and help me take care of it. But I don't, you know, if you can get on there and look at it and make it happen and have the ability, then you can do it. I don't want to discourage anybody that wants to try to file their own claim. Everybody I've talked to so far that's looked at it has said, James, it's a little too complicated for me. Would you take it over for me?
My eyes are glazed over just from hearing you explain it, James. If somebody wants you guys to get involved, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, you can call 444-4444, and that's the Dudley DeBosier number, or you can go to the Dudley DeBosier website, and we're glad to help anybody and answer any questions that you have out there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Have a good weekend, even though it's only Wednesday.
Thank you very much. All right, Tommy. Thank you.
You bet. James Peltier, partner in Dudley DeBosier Law Firm.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.